This podcast is powered by homeschoolbuyerscoop.org. The main question I've been getting recently with the COVID pandemic is, how can we start homeschooling? Some school districts aren't even opening up, and they don't want to be at the mercy of an iPad or computer to do their schoolwork every day. So people are looking into homeschool options. One of those options is joining homeschoolbuyerscoop.org. They do the work for you of searching through the tens of thousands of options of curriculum, and they dial it down to 3 to 5 options of proven, tested, high-quality curriculum. They have over 260,000 families. So they use this membership to go to curriculum companies and say, hey, we want to buy this much of your curriculum. What's your discount you can give us for that? It's just like a bulk discount. It's your Sam's or Costco, but for homeschoolers. If you enter the code Montessori, when you sign up for your free membership, you get the Montessori Mom podcast discount of $5 on your first order. They are family owned and operated. They're homeschoolers themselves that decided, hey, we want the discounts that big schools, public school systems are getting. So how can we join together as homeschoolers and get discounts on curriculum? So check out homeschoolbuyersco-op.org. Hi there, and welcome to Montessori Mom. This is your host, Danielle Mitchell, and I'm here with Brenda Garza, a fellow mother of how many?
Five.
Five. We have the same amount of kids.
Yeah.
Yes, and your oldest is?
10.
He's 10. Okay. Yeah. My oldest is 8. And our two girls are like the same age.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca is 2 in September.
Right. And Kateri just turned 2.
Yeah.
So they're 6 months apart.
Yeah, I remember them cooking. Their eyes between them.
Yeah, they like to fight like girls. Because they both have all brothers.
Yeah, 3 brothers.
Yeah.
So she knows how to defend herself.
Yeah, mm-hmm, for sure. So Brenda, tell us about why you're here today. Well, actually, background first.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm Mexican. I was born in Monterrey, Mexico, a lot of years ago. We're 2 girls and 2 brothers. I grew up in a Montessori school since first grade until before going to college.
Oh, wow.
So that's what,
like,
my whole life was a Montessori.
So like till 18?
Yeah.
They have Montessori until 18?
It's like,
in the States, it usually cuts out around 12.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, it was a Catholic thing.
Okay.
So they will like make it last as long as that it could.
Yeah.
And it was a big school. Like, we were 4 groups for each grade, and more or less it will be like 35 sometimes.
Oh, per grade.
But, it was that's the only way that I know how to learn things.
Yeah, the Montessori way.
Yeah. So I moved to Spain after graduating and working some in communications. I have a degree in graphic design.
So this is after 18 or after college?
No, after college.
After college.
Yeah. I studied in a Catholic university. And then while I was working, I decided to live as a missionary in Spain in a project that involved communications and evangelization.
Okay.
So it was like two parts of it that I liked, and they lived as a community in the same building.
Right.
And there were families, there were people that weren't married, and a whole new different thing that I've never knew. So I flew there. That's where I met my husband. I was there for 2 years and then came back to Mexico. And I worked with the youth ministry.
Okay.
Of the Archdiocese of Monterrey. And then I went to Puerto Rico to get married and start a family.
That's where Jose is from, Puerto Rico,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
He's from Ponce, Puerto Rico. Okay. That's it's like the Texans from the United States.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we already have similarities.
Yes. So I'm like, and we have 5 kids, 10, 9, 7, 5, and almost 2. And we have been through a lot of different schools. And
where did you come to the States?
Well,
is it a year and a half
Yeah,
ago?
A year. Just a year. In July, we are 1 year here. They started here public school.
Okay.
Because we are still...
what school were they in Puerto Rico?
Well, in Puerto Rico, they were in the public school, okay. Then in a Catholic school, then in a Waldorf school.
Okay.
And then in a Montessori Catholic school.
Waldorf is a lot Montessori, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like a German version of Montessori. Right. Actually, I think the founder learned a lot from Maria Montessori because they collide in India during her time there.
Yeah.
With the, Theosophy community. I don't know the.
I haven't heard of that.
So there were this kind of, a lot of the European thinkers flew to India to get away of the war, and they collide in
all
some.
All the philosophers and psychologists.
And there was a lot of interesting things happening there back there.
I remember reading a lot about Maria Montessori, so speaking with a lot of these people and having conversations.
And they admire her a lot. They learn. So this.
I remember something that Freud said to her, and he said, if every child was educated in the Montessori way, then there would be no war in the world. Yeah, no psychologists needed. I wouldn't have a job, and there would be no war in the world.
Yeah. And the founder of the Waldorf culture, if you can say it, he didn't know a lot, but he knew people that knew a lot.
Yeah.
So that's how he gathered everything.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
You just need to know people.
The links. So, I started a certification in they call it Gardeners or the kindergarten teacher in Waldorf in Mexico and Spain.
Was this
Spanish.
In order to
to be a teacher
for the classroom that your kids were in?
And then I found about the year after when the hurricane came to Puerto Rico, I couldn't go to Mexico to continue the certification, and I found CGS, Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And it was like godsend because it helped me a lot to understand how I learned things when I was a kid and how to accompany my kids in their spiritual life.
Yeah.
And then everything came back. Like whenever I was in the certification, I will remember a lot of things when I was a kid. Like, that's how I learned it.
You just needed that trigger of that memory.
And obviously, I did had a lot of questions during my Waldorf years because there's a lot of things like they are not married with any religion. And I was like, I am Catholic and I want to be Catholic.
Yeah.
So I had to overthink a lot of the things that happened in a classroom or the background of different ways that they
were
used.
Doing things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So whenever I found Maria Montessori's on a second encounter with her, it was like, oh yes, this is it. And I know that she was a Catholic. And so the background of it was so different and it was like more peaceful for me. Like, and that's it. I've tried to learn whatever I can, and I try to help my kids to learn because I know, every time they will get homework or things like that at home, it will be like, I remember how I learned this, and it was way different from this.
Yeah.
So that always comes to me like a glinch.
Yeah.
This hurts.
Yeah. And I don't know how to do this way.
Yes. Being the student, it's not the same as being the teacher. So there's a lot of things to still learn.
Yeah.
And
it's so true.
Mature.
Mm-hmm. You can sit in a class in college and absorb the lecture. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to putting one together and delivering it, it's completely
way different. Yeah. But I think it's like the next level of it.
Yeah.
So
understanding.
Because being able to explain it, it's a way more difficult than
Right.
And just learning it, like absorbing it. So we are in discernment about, meanwhile, this COVID thing, if we are starting a Montessori homeschool, whatever we can do.
Yeah.
To help our kids. Like, yeah. I know everything around us is changing and it's unstable, but we want...
And you already just immigrated like a year ago. It was already a huge change. Mm-hmm. And now all of this and...
Yeah. Yeah. And I was telling me, like, the oldest, she was like, oh, no, I'm not going to move anymore. Like, I have already been in 6 different schools, Mom.
Oh.
If I'm going to change, it's going to be changing for staying at home. So I was like, yes, but you have to help me, because she already knows a lot.
They're good at helping.
Because she was in a multi-grade in the multi-level classroom, and she will give presentations for the first graders.
Okay.
And she was in 3rd grade.
Nice.
So the 2 years that they were in a Montessori school, it was good. Like they felt a lot of freedom. And because they already are like older sister and older brother, they click that part of them very well. So they like to teach.
Good.
The youngers.
Good.
Yeah.
That good, helps so much.
Good things and bad things.
Oh, of course. Of course. They have to teach them how to get in trouble too.
Yes. Yes. So that's why I'm here, because I haven't stopped texting you like, how do I do this? How do I do that? Is this real?
Yeah.
This is like the Beastmaster.
It is. It's like the ideal, like way up here. And I haven't met anybody that's actually done it completely successfully, mm-hmm. like strictly Montessori.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so different at home because it's an entirely different environment.
Yeah.
It's not only things meant to build them like educationally. It's like the whole family dynamic.
It's involved.
And yeah, anything extra that you wouldn't find in a Montessori classroom is there. So.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be different because I was in a school.
Like, yeah.
I had a uniform. I had hours, and but I do remember the freedom. I remember being from 9 a.m. until 11, choosing what to study that day.
Yeah.
How I was going to administer my time. Like, I had a limit, like, of 30 days to do this kind of work, but I will decide how to do it and when to do it. And that involved a lot of decisions and responsibility. And at the end of the class, or at 11, we will share what we learned and how it will help the other one.
Oh, wow.
So that was like...
You're already miles ahead of me.
Like the blue line circle or something.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that because it really changed me. Like, I will always leave the history or geography thing because I am so bad with memory.
Mm.
So I will always leave them like at the end of the month. And people will start talking about that during the month, so it will motivate me to go for it.
Yeah.
And know all the tricks.
Yeah.
Because they will tell you where to.
Made you feel more secure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
One of the beauties, another beauty of having like the freedom and the mixed ages and
the decisions, like taking decisions. Okay, I decide to work this first and then the other ones. So I have to live with the consequences and that's it.
Learn it from the beginning there.
Yeah.
It was so good. Awesome.
My parents will drive an hour to let us in the school. And then at the end of the day, they will guide another hour. Well, almost it will be 2 hours because we live 2 hours far from home. Like, the school will be an hour.
Round trip, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
there and back. Wow. That's 4 hours of driving every day.
Yeah.
Man, that is dedication.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's the best gift that they could give us.
Wow.
And it was expensive, too.
Oh, yeah. It is expensive.
It was a private
proper school.
Like, it was the cheapest from the schools that they have in Monterey because... Yeah. There are a lot of institutes there that are even in English. And for rich people, this was the cheapest, but it was good.
Yeah.
And even I did my first communion there, so I had my CGS there.
Awesome.
And I didn't know what that I did.
Yeah. Yeah, the Catholic Montessori school in our area is the cheapest. But to me, in my heart, I'm like, this is the best because they pray every morning and they have Catechesis of the Good Shepherd built in throughout the day.
Yeah.
It's offered like twice a week, mm-hmm. not just once a week. And yeah.
We were working with one private school back in Puerto Rico that in like the classroom included the Good Shepherd, the Catechism of Good Shepherd presentations. So mm-hmm. they can work with it whenever they need it. There was yeah. no specific time mm-hmm. to work with.
I hate the separation. So I see that it could be needed, but like mm-hmm. I desire that too. Actually, since we're podcasting here now, mm-hmm. Edmund's office is right next to the study where we do our schoolwork. And like I'm really torn because I would like to extend the kitchen into that room, but then it'd be also amazing if it was a mini atrium.
Yeah.
With all of that there and mm-hmm. it's not separated. It's mm-hmm. together.
It's together.
And the kids are like, since they haven't been able to be in atrium for so long, mm-hmm. they're asking.
They're longing for it?
Yes. I remember when I worked with Mary and this thing and like, why can we bring that home?
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Yeah. We did get to bring some things home during Easter, mm-hmm. During Holy Week.
Yeah.
And work with them. They were short-lived, so I didn't think that it really mm-hmm. stuck with them a whole lot. But they're asking again. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I miss it. Like, a mother will tell me, like, why are you doing this? Because I was an assistant and last year. And I was like, no, you're not understanding it. This is for me, too.
Yeah.
Like, I grow with these kids here. And she was like, and I'm like.
Yeah, it is. Good. Oh, I was registered to go to level 3 training for 9 to 12 this summer. Mm-hmm. Both of the sessions got canceled. But mm-hmm. even the preparation for it, I was so excited. Like, yeah. this is my Bible study.
Yeah.
This is how I grow. Like, I have no time for anything else. I'm literally preparing this for my children.
Yeah. It's
doing so much for me. You tend to do so much less for yourself when you have kids.
Yes.
So it's great motivation that in doing something for someone else, you're serving yourself. And there's a direct intention. Like, I'm doing this to help someone. Mm-hmm. I think it does so much more for your spiritual life. Like, there's a goal.
Yeah. Well, that's
the reason. It's not going to be stagnant. It's going to flow through you.
One of the reasons that we are thinking of doing homeschool is because I called Judy Jolma. That was the girl that you
sent. Judith Jolma. Yeah.
Because I called her.
You called her
because of the institute. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was so desperate. Like one day after having a conversation, I called her. She didn't answer, and like 15 minutes after, she called me back.
That's awesome. So I don't know how she does it. She has, like,
I started, like, laughing everything. I'm like, oh, my God. This is. And she listened to me, and she was like, you know what? You're going to make it. You're going to make it because you really love your kids. And this doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes, but you're not alone.
Yeah.
You will never be alone. You will be able because he already put in you whatever your kids need. And I was like, I was crying in the car, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, people will go through and look at me and I'm like, I'm sorry. But it was so good. Yeah. And so she invited me to, she has this program for 6 weeks to coach you on how to prepare and how important it is to take your needs inside of all the, like, it's not, she was telling me, it's not about a curriculum for the kids. It's creating a whole environment for the whole family.
Right.
Like, it's not just focusing on your kids. If you have a schedule.
It's not just education and mm-hmm. information.
She was telling us, like, if you have time for math, for science, or whatever, there has to be time for your spouse. There has to be time for you to do exercise, something that you like. Like, that's the whole thing. It's not just about the academics. So I'm crossing my legs, fingers, and whatever you can cross. I will start this Friday. She's offering the last one.
Okay.
And see how it goes. Because if we don't do it, at least it will be helpful for me to during all the online version of the school that it's...
Yeah, so it is what it is. And she was talking about some mom calling her and, like, her ADHD... 6-year-old son or like 5-year-old son is mm-hmm. going to have to be sitting in front of an iPad for 6 hours a day.
I think that's what that was my
that's
kid.
That's child abuse.
Yeah. Yeah. Like at the end of the day, at the end of the 4 months that we had to go through, he was asking me like, why do I have to follow her instructions, like the teacher's instructions? And I was like, well, because I'm asking you. I am. She's not even here. And I'm like, well, I am. And I'm asking you to follow the instruction from the teachers. But it was hard for him. He wouldn't even want the Zoom callings and everything.
Yeah.
They will turn the camera off or put it doing like to the wall because it was awkward for them.
Yeah.
And they are like crazy to get in contact of other kids, but not like that. Like,
right.
When they went to a camp, a summer camp for 2 weeks, and the 9-year-old didn't want to swim. And I was asking him like, why? And he will go like, well, they took out all the fun thing that you can do in the swimming pool. You can't touch the other. You can't swim near somebody, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I'm not going to swim like that.
Yeah.
So he stood talking with the coordinator of the program like every year, every day for 2 hours.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, that's what you decided and they don't have a problem with it. I don't mind.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, I'm not going to do it like that. Like they took all the fun out.
I wouldn't either. Yeah.
So, yeah, I know that it is going to be hard for our kids, for every kid. Because it's not like watching a movie. It's learning, and it involves a lot of skills and a lot of senses that they won't have.
Are you talking about homeschooling or the Zoom?
No, Zoom school.
Yeah, Zoom school. We're gonna call it Zoom school. It's Zoom school.
Yeah.
Not Zumba.
Yeah.
That would at least...
So we are in that discernment time if we're... It's not that I haven't thought about it before, but...
Yeah, because we've talked about this before.
But I was not that desperate, maybe.
Right. There's a lot of desperate parents out there that are like...
And I was...
I can't send my kid to school. Like, everybody was talking mm-hmm. about how horrible the Zoom calls mm-hmm. were going. Especially with kids, like 5 and under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like how...
No.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
They don't. There are not, is not brain no. capability there.
No, that's
capacity
it.
To do mm-hmm. that.
And I wasn't, and I didn't thought about my kids having problems with it. It was more about me and my capacity. Like, am I going to be able to do it? Oh, no, yeah. I'm not capable. And that shut the door a lot of times. So this time I was like, okay, I'm still not capable, but it was, I think it was
but
Kimberly
it's
Han.
Be better than Zoom school.
Yeah. Kimberly Han was telling, oh yeah, that's where Philippines, well, I don't remember that everything can be done if he strengths us.
Yeah.
So that's how we roll right now.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to learn whatever I can do.
Yeah.
But I'm trusting in him.
Right.
Because I know that he's more worried about them than me, so he has to be freaked out.
Right. Well, and whenever you think about everything that the public school tries to offer and put in their curriculum, it's well-rounded. There's a lot in it, except mm-hmm. for maybe the arts now are being cut out and, like, mm-hmm. vocational stuff. But not every kid is going to need that. The great artists mm-hmm. only did art for a long time. Yeah. Like, that's what they did. Like,
that was, you know,
I mean, that's what I've been telling myself lately, especially with a child of ours that's... Yeah, we already talked about that. But
he's teaching you so much.
Yes, I always say he's either going to send me to hell or he's going to send me to heaven. It's my choice which... So I need to make the decision, but he is putting it out there for me.
Touching the button.
But yeah. So, but that's just him. It's not on purpose.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So it's either he only needs to know how to, he needs to know how to read, and he knows how to do basic math, and like he's just gonna have to figure out what he's gonna do on his own because it's not coming from anybody else but him. That's kind of where
I'm. But that's
like,
good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much more freedom. I think the public school is designed to make people follow orders. It was designed to create a generation of factory workers for the Industrial Revolution. And we have to keep that in mind, which is hard for me. I grew up in public school. Mm-hmm. So it was, I was researching the Montessori method and really loved it. But then when it came to transitioning that to like actually homeschooling my kids, it was so hard to let that go because I think I'm already like more type A personality. Mm-hmm. Like we need to get these things done. I have my to-do list and I'm not okay. And if we're not getting our stuff done, like then, you know, like that reflects on me. Like this is bad. We didn't do this. I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not even about me. It's about them.
That's great. So,
So all of that comes into play and it's just not, I don't think it's realistic. It's just a completely different way of going about things. And it's not respectful of the person.
Yeah.
You know?
We did have a good experience in public school. I remember having a conversation with one friend back in Puerto Rico. And she was like, well, the kids haven't had anything for the last 3 months because the internet, blah, 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 and we don't have a computer. And yeah. I was happy because right like here they lend us 3 Chromebooks. They make sure that we had an internet. We will had like conversations with the teachers. I will send them asking for them information and they will answer. And like there was commitment.
Yeah.
Back in Puerto Rico, it will be a nightmare. So I was grateful for what we did had. Yeah. I know there's always like better things, but like what we had before, this was amazing.
Yeah.
And I know that it can, and we had good teachers. Like our third one has like some learning capacities and she was amazing about it. And I could call her and ask her like, what should I do? He doesn't want to do this and that. He's all like by Wednesday, he was already tired of doing multiplications because it was the same exercise with different numbers.
Yeah.
So she will send him some different thing or he doesn't need to do the one on Thursday, but make sure that he does it on Friday, things like that.
Yeah.
But
different tricks, tools, like they, they're experienced.
Yeah.
They have a lot of experience. The teachers are great. Yeah.
They're good, but they are so limited.
Like, yeah. They are
limited. They will close their, like, she told me once, like, they already closed my door about him. So you have to fight about it. And I was like, oh, no, I really don't like to fight. Nobody likes to fight.
No.
So, but afterwards, the tests that they had for the regular thing, they already went above average. And she was relieved because that in that way she could have something to say, okay, he needs more or he needs less or we need to work with this with him because of this reference. Because we didn't have any before.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, she was amazing. I admire her. She already... She did spoke Spanish because when we came by a year ago, they didn't speak English like 10% of English.
Okay. So the whole first year is like just learning English. Yes.
So we as parents, we gather them and told them, you know what?
Which public school, being around other English kids, is really good for that.
Mm-hmm. That it was good. And we settled with them and told them, like, we are not going to worry about grades. We have never done it, and we're not going to do it in this year. This year is for learning the language. So focus, do your best, and the TV right now is going to be only in English.
Yeah.
And they will go, can we see it in Spanish? No. So it does work for the language. And we started like that, the transition, everything was different, but even they couldn't be in the bilingual part, but the teachers of the bilingual will give them the notes, like so they could have them in both languages. It was amazing. The community was very, very attentive of it.
Yeah.
So it's not because it doesn't work or I don't like it. It's because I know better.
That's it.
Like, that's it. And it's more like, are we going to be able to do it better?
Well, and if you have a kid that's ADHD,
yeah.
Montessori is so much better for that than sitting still on a desk. There's so much more movement. And
I think it will be for every kid.
Like, yeah.
For every kid that...
Yeah, it is true. I agree.
Because it's hard. It is hard for us.
Yeah.
So it is harder for them. And I remember this this founder of the institute, one of the institutes that we went there in Puerto Rico, he was telling me, okay, so if you go to the movies and you start watching a movie and you don't like it, you go outside. And I was like, yes. Will you buy another ticket for that movie? Obviously not. Well, that's an ADHD kid.
Mm.
If he doesn't connect at the first time, he will never, like, he won't be able to connect again because he doesn't like it. He doesn't.
Mm.
So it's not about them not wanting to do it, but because of all of the things that is happening in their inside. And you have to, as Montessori works from the beginning, to learn to teach them how to connect and concentrate.
Yeah, focus.
Focus and
focus.
And with every sensitive thing that they have, somebody has it by their ears, somebody will be by visual or whatever with their hands, and
right.
You have to discover.
Yeah.
What does engage them?
Yeah.
And that's how you will pull it.
Yeah.
So that has been like the hardest part of being with our kids. It's whenever you have to work a lot or you're not capable of being with them all the time, you are not able to identify that.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's been, yeah, that's been huge with us. Yeah. I would have never said, all this stuff was like revelation when I started reading Montessori, which is after we had our first, or maybe right before. But yeah, I was like, if they have problems, you won't know, and you won't know how to deal with it because you're only with them at the end of the day for a couple of hours before bed. I mean, you have a weekend and a summer, but day in, day out, you can't address it.
Just in your way, it's the way from them. Like, how do they know you? And I remember a good friend that she was struggling with potty training, and she worked all day long, and the girls were in a nursery. And she will continue the potty training that the teachers were having, but it was awful. It made them suffer a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember always thinking, how does she know when her girl wanted to go to the bathroom if she wasn't there with her the whole week?
Yeah.
Like, how, because I know when my kids are going, like,
they
need to do it.
Yeah.
But it was because I was with them. So if that happens in our way, that happens in their way too. So how do they know how to call you when they really need you, or how to call your attention in a correct way?
Yeah. Yeah.
In a respectful way and things like that. So it goes both ways. And I think it's more about respecting them.
Or how to know, like, just about you and, like, what makes you happy and what you like. Like, you know, just like you want to know your kids.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, when I'm upset, I usually, like, I just walk outside. They know. I just drop everything and walk outside. And when I come back inside, my favorite music will be playing.
Oh,
they will
goodness.
Tell Alexa to play the music that I like. They know they know the songs and the artists that I like. So that's immediately makes me feel better and softens my heart. Like,
well,
they're not little minions. They're
well. We identified this week. We identified that every time that I will get mad with my kids, the almost 2-year-old will start, "Mommy, hola." Hola, mommy. Like, she will start distracting me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I was like, but it helped me. Like, it helped me, like coming back. But we noticed that, like, she has been doing it for 3 or 4 days, that she will start, "Hello, hola, mommy, hola," like, trying to distract me.
Yeah.
And it was so cute.
Yeah, of course. A 2-year-old saying that. I was like, look at my cuteness.
Yeah.
Aren't I amazing?
It's going to help.
Don't I make you feel better? I make everyone smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's more like connecting with them, getting to know them, so we can show them how amazing they are.
Yeah.
If you don't get to connect with them that way, who's going to teach them how amazing they are?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I grew up in a family that we were close, but I was doing gymnastics since 2 years until 12. Mm. And at the end, I will be at the gym, like, from 3 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Wow.
So my memories of my childhood was with my friends of gymnastics and my coach.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a real bond with my brothers. We do have, and she's my sister, and he's my brother and everything.
Right.
But we didn't mingle that much.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Only Sundays. Yeah. So that kind of stuff.
You just don't have it. You just missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of other things, but that didn't happen happened in a normal way. So
that was my main reason for wanting to homeschool, because I felt that growing up too, we weren't with each other, mm-hmm. and me and my brothers weren't friends. Mm-hmm. We weren't friends with each other.
Yeah.
Only afterwards, until my brothers moved out and started living with each other, did they really become friends.
Partners.
Yeah. And that never happened for me because I was the only girl. So I guess that's not a thing to get out of high school and go to college with your brothers and move in with them. They would not have wanted me. So... yeah, so that was my, actually, out of everything else, I just want my kids to be friends and love each other.
Yeah. Well, I've always been so different from my sister and brother. Like, she's a doctor, my mother is a doctor, my father is an engineer, my little brother is an engineer, and I'm an artist. Mm. So I've been different from them my whole life.
Yeah.
Like... and I'm like the black sheep of the family.
Yeah.
Like, what is she talking about? Or they will, like, we will be in the table and they will be talking about medical stuff and then engineering stuff. And I will be like, okay, so I made this drawing. But they love me. I know they love me.
They're like, do something more for society.
Yeah, I'm always being the crazy one. Like, oh, yeah, it's Brenda.
Yeah.
That's me. And I remember my mother telling me, why aren't you a normal girl?
Aww.
And I will go like, how? Like, yeah, have a boyfriend, get married, have kids. Why aren't you like that? And I remember my dad telling her, but because she's Brenda. So it was like, and I did get a boyfriend, get married and kids, but I was not going to do it because that was it.
Yeah.
I was going to do it because I wanted to do it. Like, I heard a call, so.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what happened with your kid when they were teaching to to put his T-shirt inside.
Oh, yeah. To tuck his shorts in for 2 years. Yeah.
Until it didn't make sense.
The way it happened was, so she said, this is my second child who he... would never tuck his shirt in for anything until he was 4 years old. And we were living with my parents at the time, and he was like botcha everything. My mom is called botcha. If he got hurt, he didn't want mommy. He wanted botcha.
Oh.
Like, for everything. She was like his mom during this time. So, and she just mentioned him. She didn't tell him. She mentioned to him that his grandfather tucks his shirt in when he goes to work, and it looks really nice. No confrontation, just mentioned something, and then for 2 years, like,
voila.
Yeah.
It happened.
Because he wanted to. Yes. Yeah. So what do you think your next steps are for going homeschool Montessori?
Well, I still have to convince my husband.
Okay.
That's a big part.
That's a big step.
Yes. It's not about convincing him. It's about... I know that the biggest worry about for him is my health, mental health.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing it for me, thinking of me, not the kids only. But I remember we had a conversation, and I told him, so he was telling me, okay, these are the options, online or going to school. And I'm like, no, God has always called me to look for more options, not just the one that they gave me. So this is my option. I don't know. What do you think about it? What do you think? And he was like, we still have to pray about it. And we are still praying, but we decided to do the course of the Institute, Sophia Institute, because it will be helpful aside of it. If we do the online part or we do the homeschooling, it will be helpful for me. It gives you
tools. Because if you're doing online, that's homeschool.
That's homeschool.
You're directing it.
Yes, with four different curriculums.
You're just given a curriculum. Yeah.
So it will be like... I think it starts this Friday, and I will try it and see what happens. But And I was telling him, like, you don't even have the rush of the normal. You have to start in September or you have to start in October because you adapted. Right. And right now his hours of work are so changing. Like right now our weekend is Wednesday and Thursday. And if the kids are in a regular system, they won't be able to see him, like none.
You know what? That's been awesome for us homeschooling because Edmund's always had a schedule like that. When you work for a church, you work on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So, our weekend is like Friday.
So,
and if they were in school, they just wouldn't see him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to learn about homeschooling so I can teach him. Because he's always, no, you read the book and you let me know whatever you want me to learn.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah,
do all the research for us, honey.
You're like, no, read it and then you give me the highlights.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
give me the cliff notes. Tell me what I need to know. You need to know every single word. It's so amazing.
Yes.
I can't say it like she does.
Yes. And he comes from public school, total.
Yeah.
Like, so he will always be like, well, nothing's wrong with me. And I'm like, I'm not telling you that something's wrong with you, but we can make it better. Like, why not? So we're trying to do a lot of things, and we have stopped a lot of projects that we had to be able to concentrate on this and make it happen. I don't know how it's going to be, but I trust on having this present from God. I've never heard of this institute until like 1 month ago that there was a homeschooling conference. And we have this incisive friend that has always he was always pushing like, but you still have this option. Have this option, because he loves it.
Yeah.
And, it's funny because they haven't had kids. So most of our friends will be like, he's telling that because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But he does, because he wishes to be able to do it with some kids.
You can see truth, whether you...
Yeah. So I've always be grateful for him because he has been like a big instrument in our spiritual life. And he's a good friend. So
so he's who you found out, Sophia Institute?
Well, he told me about the conference, the conference from homeschooling. And then
there was conference they have.
There was some resources. And then I don't know how I clicked in hers.
I thought I sent you an email about it.
I don't know.
A couple days ago.
No.
No?
Well, I was in Mexico. I think it was before going to Mexico that I started.
Because I sent it to like five different people. So I was like, this is awesome. You've been asking me questions. Like, this is whole course.
So
I'm about to start it. Mm-hmm. Which is something I don't have. Like, I don't have that put together. I'm probably, like, she's 8 years ahead of me in the homeschooling
thing. And she's willing to, like, it's not just about giving you the but to mentor. Because everybody's. And that's the whole thing. When you start the homeschooling part, who do you call? Like, who do you ask? Like, in the normal, you will call the teacher, you will call the principal, whatever. But homeschooling, what do you do? Yeah. So she has been, like, way already.
And nobody Montessori homeschools.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So we found, I found a lady who, she is a Montessori teacher, but she has taken off from it since she had her first child, who is like, I forgot how old, but she's crawling.
Okay.
And so I put out a, like a job posting on North Texas Montessori Institute mm-hmm. website. Just to have somebody come over, because I know I'm lacking. I don't have a Montessori education. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm didn't go through Montessori school mm-hmm. or how to be a Montessori teacher or anything like that. Or directress. Shouldn't say teacher. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, she responded. She's mm-hmm. like, I don't know, 20 minutes away. And she's cool. like, I don't want to do this full time, but I'd be interested in coming over, you know, two or three times a week for a couple of hours.
That's
and
good.
Helping you out. So,
yeah.
I'm hoping that's going to work out.
Yes, I know.
They were sick and we were sick at the same time. So, like, we've, like, both – it feels good to, like, one – it really sucks when one person's available and the other is not.
Yeah.
And then it switches. But we've both been unavailable for a long time. So that felt better. But I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks everybody will be well and will
– better.
Yeah, be able to kick that off because I – Ignatius is 8. He's the oldest. So I'm, like, he's getting above – where I really know what to do with yeah. him. Yeah.
Because, yeah, and it's that's going to happen. Like, one of the things that I liked from the Institute, she was explaining on how the important part is not that you already know it, but you are able and happy to discover with them.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I don't know that much English, but I can learn with them.
Yeah.
Like grammar, spelling, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know like American history, but I totally will love to learn with that yeah. with them. So at that, in that part, I was like, I don't mind learning.
Yeah, I never learned chemistry, so I'm really excited to learn chemistry. Kids, finally. That D in college is like just still ringing in the back of my head.
Yeah. So the videos are and the meetings that I already had with her has been very reconforting about it. Like, you don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing to investigate. And that...
It's just like going to school.
Yeah.
Like, you have to start somewhere. And you're not going to know it all immediately.
That will be even more helpful for them than you think, because they won't feel like, oh, you're the teacher and they're the students. It's right. more, it's something like the Catechism of the Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
Like you grow with them.
Right.
So she was telling us
you that. Listen to the word of God together. Mm-hmm. You're not spitting it out at them. Mm-hmm. Let's listen yeah. to Jesus.
And you're learning with them.
He's the teacher.
You're happy learning with them. You enjoy it. And you look for, and I remember one video that she was telling us that your dreams about how your school homeschooling will be, it's what they need. God is putting that in your heart because that's what they already need.
Yeah.
So if you're faithful to that, you will be doing the best thing for them.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, we can't do a lot of things here in Texas. <It's quiet.
laughs> Need lots of water to cool off right now. Lots of water and yeah. a little bit of air movement. Just a little, please.
Movement.
Yeah.
So I started asking a lot of like the person that I will know.
Yeah.
You were in the list. Obviously, I was an assistant for the Catechism of the Good Shepherd for three girls that do homeschooling. And Nicole goes to our parish, and she was telling me, yes, you can do this, you can do that. I even know bilingual methods. That was another thing that I wanted for
bilingual
our kids.
Bilingual curriculums?
Yeah. Okay. I did want it to, for kids, because the three oldest already know how to learn to read and write Spanish. But the fourth, he wasn't, because yeah. he only learned it in Spanish, but then he came by and he already learned it in English, and he still speaks Spanish, but if he wants to read or identify letters, he's already doing it only in English.
Mm.
So that part I will want him to have. Not everything, but at least that.
Yeah.
And it was great because when we got here, our kids were amazed of how math it's a universal language.
Oh, yeah.
So
no
they
struggles
were,
there.
No, they That's started awesome. Enjoying it, math, yeah. because it was the same.
Yeah.
And they were even a little ahead
yeah.
because of all of the materials that they had for 2 years in the yeah. Montessori. So they didn't have any problem with it. And
That's
they
awesome.
Started enjoying it a lot.
Really?
Awesome. Yeah.
I always enjoyed math.
I thought math as riddles. Like, oh, I have to discover what
really
which is it. Which number is it?
I felt comfort that there was always a right answer.
Well, I didn't because I was always looking for another answer. Like, I was literally always like, but why? Why can't we do it like this? Why
yeah.
can't we do it like that? And the teacher will like, oh, I can't. So.
Yeah.
But it was like riddles. That it was for me, it was
yeah,
for
Yeah, because you're an artist. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you probably did great in literature and like writing and like all of that.
I did enjoy a lot of
Yeah. I was never. They would give us a poem, be like, what does this mean? I'm like, what's the answer to what it means?
I'm more why like you're I'm more like that.
You're supposed to tell me what this means, right? Like, this is why we're here. Which, no, I hate that about public school because it's spoon-feeding yeah. answers of, like, what you want kids to regurgitate out of you, which is not teaching them to think. So,
like, that doesn't yeah. even make sense. That's how he tells me. That doesn't even make sense, Mom. And I'm like, oh, my God, I know. Maybe I have to answer that. And whenever we started doing, I remember, like, it was almost the last week, we had to, my third one was learning how to divide by subtraction.
Mm.
By subtracting. That, I've never seen it. Like,
oh, really?
I've never seen it.
Like long division.
Because I grew up in Mexico.
Yeah.
And even if I was in a Montessori school, they will have, okay, this is the way to teach divisions. And that's it with the tables and blah, blah, blah. So when I remember I saw it and I was like, oh, that's cool. But the day after I had to wait to go to work and my husband was going to study with the kids.
Uh-oh.
When I got at home, my kid was like, yes, my father was like 40 minutes watching the same video and he did. He wasn't even helping me. He was trying to understand what was about the division.
Yeah.
I've never learned it like this. And I'm like, no, me either. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's a total different experience about the
yeah
the knowledge and everything. So, but it is different, but that doesn't mean that it's bad. We just want to give our kids what they really need.
Yeah.
And right now we had to consult our psychologist for the third one that is helping with us with him. And she was like, oh, yeah, go ahead. If you can't make it, we will throw you a safeguard and they can always come to the public school in January. And
January.
I was like,
okay.
Okay.
That's
but she
nice.
She totally backed up me and on the idea because of all of what our kids lack, and the ADHD won't let him, like, it won't be a good experience for him.
The Zoom school.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. But yeah. And now I know somebody to cry with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's our kid that's like that. The other kids will be zoned in to a movie. He's the only one that'll be like, I don't want to watch this, or like, this is a waste of my time, or he's the only one that will actually walk away from the movie. The other kids are just
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
hypnotized. Yeah, he's the only one that'll move around.
So when I started asking, they were telling me, oh, this is the state that it is easier to do
yeah.
homeschooling. I'm not.
There's not regulation.
And my question was like, okay, so I will do homeschooling until college, or if there's some step when I want them to come back to a regular school, how do you do it?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know how to do that. Or
right.
There, this friend of us told us, like, oh, you know what? And they even give you money because you homeschool your kids.
Who does?
In Texas, and with the taxes and everything. And I was like, mm-hmm.
See, I haven't heard of that. We've homeschooled for...
I Googled it, and it is not that they pay you, is that you can add it as expenses.
Oh, yeah.
in your, but I don't know how much money you have to do or not. Like, that's another process that I will have to.
Yeah, we don't spend a whole lot, so I don't think it would really matter much, but.
And that was,
hey, maybe we should try that. I mean, we did buy homeschool shelves that were quite expensive. So the homeschooling materials that are on, like the shelves that the stuff is on, that would probably register. Everything else is.
But today I was asking Jose, like, okay, well, if you do homeschooling, will you put your electricity bill and your internet bill as expense of
your school?
Homeschooling? Like, that would be a good question. Like, who can I ask?
I'm going to have to check this out. I haven't even heard of all this because we have like a whole room in our house that is dedicated. A lot of people don't even have that. Yeah.
Even like the expenses of having instead of having a 3-bedroom house, you will need a 4th bedroom so you can handle it. So if that will be part of it, like those kind of stuff, it would be like, I don't know, buddy. I don't know nobody who.
Yeah.
Can answer that, I know.
We're going to have to figure that out. I'm going to look that up. I'll let you know.
It will be good.
I'm going to get on that.
Yeah, because he was telling me, oh, yes, almost $6,000 for a kid. And I was like, ka-ching.
Wow. Oh, we pay like $3,500 a year for public school taxes, and we don't send our kids to school.
That's what they are not spending your kids, so it should be in your
pocket. That's right, yeah. It should be spent on our kids for their curriculum.
Because the question, I remember the question, it was, does the Texas state pays you for doing homeschooling? And the answer was like, no, you can put it in your taxes and they will give it back. Because it's taxes that you already paid and you didn't use the system. So, but I'm still investigating. I'll let you know.
Well, we've been doing this for years. So if we've ever messed up on our taxes, they're going to end up owing us.
Those kind of stuff. Like right now, even the Zoom classes, the Zoom school, you're using our internet and our electricity, like for 2 or 3 computers. Because they are lending computers for everybody that needs it, even internet.
Yeah.
But right now, you're not spending that money in your school. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Oh. They have to think about it. Everything has changed, and there's a lot of things to.
So much to figure out.
Yeah. So the other.
So what's your next steps for? You're going to go just do the Sophia Holmes Institute, and then
I will try to.
Do you have a deadline of when you're going to figure it out?
She gives you some exercise. She has developed
to figure out what you want.
Okay, what are your priorities in the homeschooling experience? How are you going to do it? How you want to teach? Which curriculum will be according to that? That kind of stuff. She has already developed a notebook or something. And I do want to work it with Jose. Because Jose is a musician, and I know that he can put a lot of things in it. Because they're not just my kids. Yeah. Like, I know God has something through him for them, too. So I will, I don't know how much he will be able to, but I will not. At least for the planning part.
Yeah. Oh, that's happened. Planning is great, right? It's actually doing it that's hardest. Yeah, I've always told Edmund, he's wanted to do all of, the literature and writing, teaching how to write, and, and art. Like, that's you. I have no idea. Mm. Blue is blue to me. There's no shades. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's more like that at home too. So he's more the artist than I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really structured. Some priests call me, a strange artist. One day, you're sort of a strange artist because you are an artist, but you're structured. So I don't know. And I was never happy with discipline or schedules.
Oh,
But
this is me. I can't stand to do the same thing more than one day in a row. This is probably part of the reason I struggle with homeschooling my kids, is I'm like, oh my God. Also why I didn't ever really want to choose a career path, because I'm like, I cannot
decide to do
fathom doing the same thing every day for more than like a couple of years. Like, I think that's the most I can do it. Like, you just can't.
But after 10 years of being a mom with five, you start to love the structure. Like, not the structure, the hard one, but the one that has, like, okay, you have this, 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 and then you can play with it.
There's a succession.
Yeah.
Not necessarily we do this at the same time every day, but there's a succession of, like, yeah. So, like, we've figured out that rhythm of, yeah, okay, so we get up in the morning. You can't come down. Like, when you make your bed, get your day clothes on, brush your teeth, then you can come downstairs. And when everybody's come downstairs, then we can cook breakfast together. Then we clean up. Then we, yeah, it's like
a routine.
When we do this, then we do
that. Routine is not strict, but it's like a following steps. I remember one day our third kid asked me something, and like, can I have a snack or something? Yeah, that's the most common question that they have. And I went to the microwave to see which hour was that, like, what time was it? Oh. And he asked me, why do you always ask for permission to the microwave? And I'm like, what? Yes, you are always asking him for permission. And I'm like, no, why? Yes, whenever I ask you something, you go there, ask him, and then you come back and say yes or no. And I'm like, no, I'm watching, I'm seeing the time. Like, I want to be.
It's kind of true. It's not actually the microwave. It's the time. The time is being the director. But
yeah,
here.
And I was like, so that helped me to be sensible about how I will manage the times, like not being strict. And in Waldorf, they are very strict. They're not strict, but they are. Like, whenever you want to do a transition, you will always try to do it with a song or with you doing it, doing the transition, and the kid will follow.
Okay, but it's not
meanwhile,
the kids.
They are in this stage of absorbent mind.
Okay.
So if you want them to clean up all of the classroom, if you want to call it.
Then you sing the cleanup song.
You will start singing. And you will start picking up things, like, very calmly, not, oh, you too, and you too, help me. No, no, just doing it. And they will follow.
Okay.
So they will transition to something new, but not being abrupted to it. Like, okay, this is where it ends. So they will be disconnecting by their own self, instead of you telling them or an alarm, like, blah, and they will have to, things like that. Or
so how's that different from Montessori, how Montessori transitions?
I really don't know. I remember hearing the bell, and that like, limits are good too.
Yeah.
But I think it was more about me being a gardener teacher, like, for little kids, because they don't understand the concept of time. They're living the present. Right. So the way that they will recommend us was like that, like with a song. Like right now, Rebecca starts, like, whenever I tell him, oh, there's something in the floor, she will start, clean up. But because she has always heard it when I'm picking up things.
Yeah.
So that's more like for them. Or perhaps if there was only a swing, for them to be able to have turns, instead of counting time, we will sing a song.
Oh, okay.
So the song has a specific time.
So this is all like Waldorf stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But in Montessori, when they transition, they ring the bell, and then you're supposed to start cleaning.
But it's
your
not
work.
An alarm. It's a bell.
No, it's just a soft bell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's
it's different that it's if they rung it. And yeah, you're like
from the other end of the room.
Yeah,
it's this is time to clean up your work and start thinking about something else, like lunch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kids are usually pretty excited to clean up for lunch.
Yeah.
Unless they're
because lunch is there.
ADHD. And they don't care about anything but what they want to do.
They just want to do what they were doing.
Yeah.
So that's our steps. We are still figuring out. We live in a 1,000 and almost 400 home. That doesn't have that much space.
1,400 square foot.
Yeah.
How many bedrooms?
Three.
And there, are there any like spaces in the living area that could
well,
be
we a- I've tried to transform the living area and different things yeah. while they're at it. Like we have a table that we will put out whenever it needed, but okay. we can always use the kitchen table. Like I don't really mm-hmm. mind about it. But we don't have a backyard like big, but the park is just outside the door of the.
Oh, nice!
So they will normally go out to the park, and it is big. So
yeah,
and we have a swimming pool in the complex, so that's another plan B.
Yeah.
Now that they open it again, but I do want to take them to explore the real things.
Yeah.
Like if we are studying Texas history, we'll maybe do something with the Alamo or...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
right.
learn it from where... Like it's not right. the same to see it in a photo no, instead not. Of going.
Yeah.
And if they're doing science or something, we can always do it while we're cooking.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff, that's how I've yeah. dreamt. I have dream homeschooling experience. I don't know how real it is or how much time it will take.
Yeah.
But
I think if you have like the Montessori basis, though, it's so much more doable. It's mm-hmm. so much more doable.
Because it's already, flexible.
Well, they're so independent.
Mm-hmm.
Like it raises them to be independent.
Yeah.
And then they, like Montessori would lay out the trays, like the material mm-hmm. in the trays with how you should think.
Mm-hmm.
Like one step to another from left to right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that with them growing up, then they have that succession. We get everything out. Yeah. We cook it. We put it away. We mm-hmm. clean up. And it's not...
It's a just, big issue.
It's just, yeah, it's not
yeah,
a big
it's not
issue.
A fight about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's just normal.
It's normal. Yeah.
It's normal, yeah.
Yeah, at home, everybody has to wash their own plate, their own
yeah.
glass, pick up their placemat, if there's something in the floor, ask them, pick it up and finish and continue to the next one. If
right.
you haven't finished it, you can't continue to the other
right.
one.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah, normal. That's the amazing thing, too. It's like one material out at a time. That's been amazing as a mom mm-hmm. of five little kids. It's
yeah.
like, oh, okay. So if I wouldn't have known that,
I don't know.
I would have been
I don't know
like
how they do it.
In a ball on the floor in the fetal position from like the day that the oldest turned two. Like,
yeah.
What do I do? Because stuff would be everywhere all the time.
Yeah. And I remember one priest told me whenever I had a spiritual direction with one, two or three kids, because he was always having one and I will have the other ones and the other ones will be
wow.
writing. He told me, you just have to teach the older one.
Yes.
She will teach the others. The others will follow.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand it in that moment, but now it totally does. That's like,
yeah.
It goes automatically. Like
yeah, that's all Montessori.
Even Rebecca wants to pull her plate in the place because
yes.
the other ones
she's
do it.
She's not even two. That's right. She sees everyone else doing it. Yes.
So,
and if the kids, like if they're going through their schoolwork, like if we're for reading,
mm-hmm.
we all work out of the same book. And it's just literally, it's just one book. I mean, they all have a bookmark of where they are with their name
oh,
on it.
Oh, that's a good.
So if the oldest kids or whoever just had that page a couple of days ago or a couple of months ago, they will help the little ones if mm-hmm. I'm unavailable. They'll mm-hmm. like try to tell them, oh, this is what this is what this means.
Okay.
So that's been like, I'm starting to see that more because we have, yeah.
They're getting older.
They're getting older. They can do it more, but they're a little less patient.
Yeah, I remember those 4 months with the mom. I don't understand this. Mom, can you help me with this? And I'm like, what? Wait a minute.
One at a time.
And in between them, Rebecca was putting like pushing buttons, literally.
It's the whole
of the computers.
It is.
So it was like
that's the hardest. Is
just
having
wait until the nap
yeah.
time, and whenever she's napping, I
then
can
we'll do
sit
schoolwork.
With
yeah. yeah, we did that for a year. We did that for a year.
Right
from
now,
the time
she's started to engaging things.
Yeah,
with
right.
Things.
I mean, there's a time from when they start crawling and getting
mm-hmm.
into things to when they're like walking around and can manage things
yeah.
at least a little bit on their own. But in between that time, it's, yeah, schoolwork during nap time.
Yeah. It was, and whenever she didn't sleep, that was there was a crisis.
School is just not happening on those days.
Free day. Yeah.
Well, that was my second question. How do you how do you homeschool with your PMS? Because I know that I have a rhythm.
There's so many days.
Effective days and there's lag days.
There's a few days a month where I text the administrative assistant and I'm like, can we have a free day today? Because I'm not really getting off the couch right now.
Because that's like, real.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah. It is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of homeschooling.
And you have to consider it. Yeah. I have a friend that she's going to be having her fourth child in October. And she was telling me, how do I do it? Like, I don't want to interrupt it. Well, I was with her kids are still little. And I told her, you know what? Get somebody to help you.
Yeah,
like three days in a week, and then you can start learning from that person that goes there. You can start learning from her, and you will have time with your kids. Because she was telling me that they were gonna send their kids, and I'm like, you're gonna have a newborn in your house, and you're gonna be taking your kids to school. Like,
that's hard.
And she was like, oh, I've never thought. And they don't have a money problem, so.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? And she was like, oh, that's a good idea. So she will try to do it. And I know there's a lot of Montessori schools that are closing too.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Because not everybody can handle a crisis like this.
That's true.
So there's going to be a lot of good teachers around people that are not going to be able to.
Okay.
And that.
Everybody take note.
And that and having their own kids at home. Because we think from the teacher as teachers, but their moms too.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be hard. It's going to be, take a lot of efforts, but
it's going to be a change.
Yeah. You have to adapt. Yeah. You have to adapt. And there has been a lot of, announcement that I have seen articles of people offering their expertise in it. Like I can mentor you. I can go as the one that you found.
Right.
I can help you 1 or 2 days a week and teach you how to do it.
Right.
So you just have to stop thinking of what you had and thinking of what you want to have.
Right. Yeah, that's not an option anymore. Move on.
Mm-hmm. But that takes time. And I don't know. I'm normally flexible to adapting.
Right. It just depends on your personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
And more questions. I still don't know how a day will look like, but I'm thinking that we will involve a nap from my 2 years old.
Yeah.
And it has to involve some exercise from me.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a book that I read whenever I was about to have my third, and it's called Managers of Their Homes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a homeschooling mom, mm-hmm. and she uses a schedule for homeschooling, but it involves like the day for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
So she walks you through how to write out like, okay, there's 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
What are your goals for your day? And what times, like how much time do you want to devote to each of those things? And like, okay, there's 7 days a week, there's 24 hours in a day, and you write it all out.
Yeah.
And you schedule in like, okay, when are you going to exercise? And and if you have more than three kids, I have now, that has evolved for me into a list of opportunistic chores and activities.
Yeah.
If the baby is sleeping and everybody isn't fighting, then we do this. You know, like there's always the dynamic of the family that can just ruin everything.
Yeah.
But
maybe not every day,
and
but
her is that. Yeah. And then like her mentality was that if you miss it one day, you move on. You don't try to like make up for anything.
Yeah.
So that was like that. She would say that for, you know, your homeschooling schedule, for whatever you need to do to take care of your house and yourself. Mm-hmm. Like it's all built into this daily schedule. And like you have a column for each person in the family and what they're doing. And you give 15 minutes transition time between each activity, which makes you want to throw up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you at least like do the activity of writing out, you're like, okay, these are my priorities.
Yeah, and you know how to play with it.
Yeah, right. So I did that for, it was more doable for me when I just had three. So I did that for pretty strictly for about 6 months to a year. And now like it's been ingrained in me enough where it's like, okay, it's given me more structure. Wednesdays are still days to clean out all the, we eat all the leftovers and clean out the fridge and like kind of do whatever deep cleaning needs to be done in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Thursdays are still laundry days in my mind. Like, it's just automatic. So yeah. When you get a schedule down, even though it makes you want to throw up, it helps you. It helps it be more automatic in your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like part of it.
Yeah. Like, just a part of it. Just natural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what we do. And it's not – also, what helps with that is you don't have to decide what to do next. It's there. You don't want to follow the schedule. You don't follow the schedule. But if you want to do something,
you already have it.
Then you already have it there. You know what you should be doing to at least like be, you know, help you do whatever you need to do for like yourself or the family. Like, this is what we should be doing. You can always decide not to, but at least you've thought about it. You have your priorities.
And you have a you decide ton of to time not of do day. It instead of them deciding that you won't be doing
right.
it. Like, and that gives you some power and like right. no, not I'm not gonna I'm not just a servant. I do decide to not do my exercise.
Right. And well, and for me, like my oldest is just now getting where they can start reading well. Mm. So she would say like post it on the fridge where people can see it. And if they want to know where mommy is, like, okay, it's 7 p.m. Like, you're supposed to be reading books. Mommy's working out. Like, this is what's this is what everybody's doing. And it gives everybody else, like, they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. The schedule is the boss. It's not mom. Like, everybody's decided already what they're going to be doing for the day.
Because that's part of them being independent.
Right.
Like, exactly. They will know what is going to happen so they can go ahead and...
Yeah. There's so many kids that work that way too. Some kids aren't, you know, is good about that, but the kids that are, they're going to be on top.
Because every day my 10-year-old asks me, what are we going to do?
What are we doing next? Yeah.
And I always tell her, it's a phrase of a cartoon that I saw back when I was a kid. I don't know if the name. I know it exists in English because it's there. The two little mouse. One that has a little brain, a big brain, and the
Pinky
other one.
Pinky and the brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
are we going to do today?
That's my
Take
answer.
Take over the world.
Nice. Every time. And she's like, oh, my God. But I'm being serious about it. Like, I don't know what we normally do. And right now, after having the moved for a year behind, when we started... when we came here, everything was different.
Right.
So when we didn't have a job, my husband took a lot of time to get a job, so he was at home too.
Mm-hmm.
What worked for us for have some peace of mind was to establish a routine. Every day we will go out to walk at 9 a.m., and we will go this way or this way, like three different routes. And then this will happen and this will happen and this will happen. That's it. So that helped them to be more comfortable with everything being
different.
Just
stability, yeah.
So when they started doing it all by themselves, like it goes out naturally. Like,
yeah.
And that's when you start to being flexible of changing things or adapting. I wasn't planned. I was a stay-at-home mom back in Puerto Rico, and I had to start working because my husband was taking along a lot to have a job, and we needed one.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I have to add to my homeschooling newly experienced, that I still have to work remotely.
Yeah.
I still have to go one day to the office, and I still have to be able to answer the phone.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to do this, but thank God I have a very understanding boss, an understanding priest, because I work in a parish, and they totally understand what's happening.
Yeah.
I started working there because they offered nursery, free nursery for the people that work there, that right now they don't have it.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I can't go to work, not just because of COVID, it's because I have my 5 kids here.
Yeah.
And the first thing that I try to explain to the people that call me is like, okay, I'm working remote, I have my 5 kids right now. If you hear screams, That's normal.
Please ignore them. Ignore the yelling.
If you want to call me after, or if you want me to call you back in another time, you can always tell me.
Yeah. Work hours are from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Yes, that's it.
And then again from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m.
So that's like the upgrade or the adding things that I still have to think how I'm going to do all of it. But yeah. The main thing is that I'm not, and the most important part is I'm not doing it because I'm afraid of the school. It's because I know God wants us to give better choices.
There was an opportunity to do
better
something
for
better
for our kids. That's
yeah. Yeah.
Because making decisions based on fear is not that good.
Right. Like, it's not.
So, yeah. And I want to take the decision not based on the situations, but because I'm convinced of it.
Right.
Like, I know homeschooling should be a decision from the whole family in a normal faith. Like Loyola will say, in times of turbulence, you don't make decisions. We're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
But that can be happening around you, but maybe not necessarily in your family, in your heart, with your husband. And there's a lot of changes around, but what can we do offer for our kids to be
right? You're not changing the fundamentals of what you believe or what you think. You're just trying to act more on what you know is good.
We're trying to act through them, like remembering what we want for our kids. Like I had a call the other day and they were asking me, oh, would you like a full-time job if I get your nursery? And I told her, no, I'm the most interest that I am is in a part-time because I do want to stay with my kids. I do want to see them. And she was like, well, but if you need the money, well, I do need the money. I don't want to be rich. I don't want a big house or a new car. I just want to be able to feed my kids and be with them, like share the bread with them.
Yeah.
And she was like, but how? And I was like, well, that's how that's how we want to raise our kids. So,
yeah. The relationship is the basis of everything, you know?
So, homeschooling has been more linked for me to not being able or prepared, and that's a lie. That's a lie that that God doesn't puts in your heart. That's a doubt.
Yeah.
So whenever we wanted to decide to do it, I wanted to be convinced of a calling instead of obligation.
Obligation,
like,
I
don't want to feel it like, oh, now I have to homeschool. It's more like, no, I want to because I think this. Even if it's hard.
Yeah.
And as you told me, well, it is going to be hard. So it is sainthood. So it's like,
yeah, it is. It is. You're choosing the better part for everyone, even though it's more work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are in the midst of this. I think the hardest part is deciding and going through it.
Right.
Let's follow it. Let's go. But our story of God being good and truthful, faithful to us, and even in the dumbest or little detail, he has always been there. He has always answered us. He has always overachieved, like over way out of our minds. So we are we trust in him. I don't trust in me with my PMS, or I wouldn't trust in me with a lack of sleep.
Wouldn't subject your kids to yourself during that time.
I trust in him, and I know that they're their kids, so he's gonna provide.
Yeah,
please. So even if it is for help,
right?
Like I don't have to do it like alone. I'm not supposed to be alone. That's what one of the psychologists told us. I have a good friend that was doing homeschooling here in the States. She moved to Guatemala to do a mission, and she had to put his kid in the regular school because she couldn't find a community.
Mm.
And homeschool happens in a community. It's not a parting from the community. From the world.
Yeah.
It's choosing who you share with.
Right.
And
yeah, that's a big thing that Evan and I have talked about, is that they're not exposed to the world. Mm-hmm. It's just that you get to choose the time mm-hmm. and the way that mm-hmm. they are exposed. Like, you as their parent know best for them.
Yeah.
And you are in charge. Like, you're the one responsible
yeah.
for who they become as an adult. So mm-hmm. you should be in control of how they're exposed, when they're exposed, and, like, you know, the age.
How to react, what to give, what not to. Like, yeah. people are like, why don't you have more than one TV? Because we don't need it. Like, we just need one, and we have to make it happen. Like, everybody have a turn. Everybody has a whatever they like to, but we have to handle it.
Yeah.
I know it's easier to have to, for each one of them, have to have one.
Yeah,
it's going to be expensive, but when are they going to encounter?
Mm-hmm.
When are they going to struggle with, oh, I like this, or I like that. Oh, I don't like this, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff, I know it's more practical sometimes, but it has its limits. So we started doing the Zoom school, the teachers will send, oh, yeah, you have to connect in this time and this day and this day and this day. And I'm like, I just have one computer and I'm supposed to be working remotely. How am I going
to
do it?
You have four kids that need to be.
There were three that needed to connect. So I was like, I'm sorry, but it's not real. I will be doing the homework you're sending, but not like that.
Yeah.
So, but they were flexible with it. And then they sent us some Chromebooks that it was. I was crazy about getting them outside of my house because they get used to it, and then they will grab it and watch whatever they wanted. And I'm like, no, that's for schoolwork. Like, what are you doing? Or things like that.
Yeah.
Well, I can do it because it's already here. Things like that. And we didn't want to happen like that.
Right.
So they had to be in this place at this time, and nobody touched it aside of doing homeschool, the work, homework, or...
Yeah.
Things like that, but I was so nervous of Rebecca getting them.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, bringing them.
So
what are you imagining so far at this point? Like, if you do the homeschool thing and you choose to do that, do you want to, like, do full-blown Montessori? Or are you imagining choosing a curriculum to guide you? Or
I haven't still make a lot of investigation about the curriculum. I have a fifth grader, a fourth grader, and a third grader.
Okay.
So I think that the multi-level of Montessori will work better.
Right.
Like, it will be, and they already experienced it before when they were in the Montessori school. And it will be easier for me to have one, like, lecture, and then they adapt it for each one of the needs. I do want to do a lot of exploring, like, letting them get to know and discover.
Right.
Like
ask a question and then go find the answer.
Mm-hmm. Like, why the other day... Like, the third one, he saw a video of a person doing an airplane with a rubber band and some clips and everything. And they asked me, can we do something like that? And I was like, yeah, but we have to do our little research before. So we started watching that video. We watched another to see how will the materials will work better. Then we went to the store and we were, okay, this costs this, but this has more. How, like,
a life lesson. Every day you go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Do I get the $6 loaf of bread or the $1 loaf of bread?
So those kind of stuff. And then we came back and they started, but they didn't finish. Like, they didn't, like, they, I think it was too much for one day.
Okay.
So the next day they opened their eyes and started doing it more the third one. And they asked me to put again the video because they wanted to start building with what they remembered the day before. Mm-hmm. So they started and it wasn't working. Right. So I told them, you know what, let's see it again. So we came back and we watched it again, and then they started asking questions and things like that. So they made their airplanes, but the project took 3 days.
Right.
So having them engage in that kind of stuff during 3 days, like building.
That's huge.
So right now.
It must have felt really good to have them like busy, focused on something for 3 days.
And, yeah, it was. And so right now, well, the thing is that they needed the hot glue.
Okay.
So I wasn't so sure to let them know. So I will ask them, where do you make a mark whenever you want me to put some.
Okay.
So I will help them and be with them. And right now, the fourth day, they decided they want to apply the turbine system to a boat.
Oh, okay.
So they changed some of the configuration and they created boats. And some of the boats didn't do well, but the other ones did.
So they transitioned.
They transitioned, like they applied what they learned the day before to another way of applying it, not just in the air, but in the water.
Yeah.
So I was like,
That feels good.
So that kind of stuff, that's what makes me, because I was discovering it with them.
Yeah.
Like I've always wanted to do an airplane with rubber bands, but I've never done it. So that was a good experience for me too. Like learning how to tense the rubber band, how it works better. Right. We had to use three different kind of rubbers so it will move.
Right.
And those kind of stuff. And then like, okay, it doesn't work. Why do you think it doesn't work? Okay, well, this is getting stuck here. How can we solve it? Well, we need something more firm. Okay, go search for something that, and something that, okay, no, we're not going to cut that, or we're not going to use that for that. But they did it. So it was a good experience for them. And the elders did tell me, like, Mommy, homeschooling is going to be like that. I do want to do it.
Oh.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So they didn't fight for 3 days.
Wow.
They were engaged. I did spend $6.
Totally
worth it.
Yeah. And I mean, if we could only homeschool our kids for $6 a week.
And it was totally worth it. And when Jose came to home, they were thrilled about telling them. And then he will discover, and I'm like, what happened here? And I'm like, so they will start explaining him how they do it, how, like, the process, how they did it, what did it work, what did work, and all of those kind of stuff.
This sounds like a telling after your 2-hour Montessori session of what you did for 2 hours.
So it was a good experience. I will be inclined to be something like that. Maybe not every week.
Right.
It will depend on what. And that was another thing that I even asked Judith in the last session that I was. It's like, okay, who establishes what does the kid of fifth grade needs to know?
Yeah.
What does the third grader shouldn't be knowing, or the fourth grader? Like, how do you have to measure it? How do you measure it? And some of them will, like, one of the people, the person that was there, she was telling us how she asked the teachers of the school to give her, like, the list of things that they should be having.
Okay.
She told me they recommended me, like, the normal books that you will find in Costco, whatever, like, do a little research about what kind of stuff they will see.
Okay.
Because that is totally out of my, like, I really don't know. Like, I didn't know that a second grader will be dividing.
Yeah.
At second grade. I was like, I didn't do that at second grade.
Yeah.
But I know.
But you are allowed to go at your own pace.
That's the difference.
Yeah. When you were interested, they showed you. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you do it at second grade or fifth grade.
Yeah.
It will come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's something that I wasn't familiar, and I'm not familiar with, and even with the system here.
Yeah.
And a good friend was telling me, like, oh, but how are you going to do with the tests? Do they have to have the tests or not? maybe just apply in a different way what they should be learning at school, at the normal school, whatever. I still don't know. Because I am inclined to the Montessori way of teaching.
Right.
But if I can't transform my home in a Montessori school because I don't have the space or the ability, at least try to consider and respect their process, their own process, their own ways, and their, like, maybe you will have a lesson for the 10th week, but that week they are asking before, so maybe change it, like, have that flexibility.
Yeah, but even if you don't have the room for all of the wooden materials and the space that they take up, you know, you can still respect the child. You can still respect their freedom.
I do not remember a lot of wood materials. I remember the math things, like the block, the yellow blocks and the little ones and the bead blocks. But afterwards, I remember having a lot of books, and in the top shelves, it would be like different practices.
Okay.
We will call it materials, but they weren't so
hands-on.
Uh-huh. It was more like following these instructions, but you will have to investigate a lot of things and create things and do drawings. But it wasn't so manual. I don't know if that happens today. Like, it's not about the materials. It's more about the...
It is more about the philosophy of respecting the child, knowing who the child is, and respecting where they're at and
what they want to read, too.
Right, the self-discovery and interest.
And I was always bad at history or geography, but I know that if I read a novel of the 20th or the 18th century, I will totally understand what...
You will absorb the culture and the events.
Like, right now, I'm watching the series of Outlander.
Okay.
I've never understood the thing with the throne and that kind of stuff, but having persons and places established, it now makes more sense.
Right.
And that's a Waldorf way of aborting, like, each of the times they will use, the teacher will have to choose a person that, and a novel or whatever that will, explain more or less how that period was.
Okay.
But linked to a person and linked to a human experience.
Right. Relationship. Mm-hmm. Linked to a relationship.
Mm-hmm. So it was like, well, that's something that I will want to do it. Yeah. And math in Waldorf, they use it, they explain it in a different way.
Okay.
They don't memorize it.
Okay.
They do it very visual.
Yeah.
They use geometry.
Okay.
Figures to do the tables, because I had a hard time learning the tables.
Like multiplication tables and stuff like that?
Yeah, because I sometimes mix up the 4 and the 9.
Yeah.
So it was, sometimes it will be like, what was that?
Yeah.
And they use figures. So I was in contact today with a good friend that is, she's a teacher in California, and I asked her, like, do you have some resources or books that I can use to help them? Because I know that my third one is going to have a little hard time with the numbers.
Yeah.
Because he will want to know why. But why 4 plus 6 is that? Can't we do it this way? And blah, blah, blah. And Waldorf has that flexibility. Like, Anna learned the table of the three, jumping the rope.
Oh.
Like, she will count, and every time that she will count 3, she will shout the number.
Yeah.
So she will start jumping, and then, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay.
And that's how she learned to, like, the table of...
Okay, that is, like, a great way to teach an ADHD kid the multiplication tables.
Yeah. And she learned the numbers in Maya. Mayan numbers, Roman numbers.
Okay.
Yeah, she had a good, she was very young, but she was a good teacher because she loved them.
Yeah.
She loved their kids. And they were like 4 or 6 only in the classroom.
Okay.
So she can identify their personalities and reach to them in right. different ways.
Sounds like homeschool.
Yeah, but she did study for that.
I didn't. Yeah, she studied. Yeah.
I
she
didn't.
Knows. She knows what to do.
Yeah. And she had a lot of time because she wasn't even married.
Yeah, so just focusing on
that. She was
devoted
to that.
Yeah. She didn't have a one-year-old crawling around, tearing everything off the shelves. And
but I can always, I know that I can always ask them, like, how would you do this? Or remember, or try to ask the Holy Spirit, like, please inspire me.
Yeah.
You took me to this. You helped me.
Right.
So that's something that I will love to help my kids enjoy learning.
Yeah.
It's more about the experience of learning.
Right.
Instead of, like, my second is a little, if he doesn't know that he's going to be good at it, he doesn't do it.
Oh, okay.
Like, he doesn't,
see,
like.
Our second is very sensitive to losing.
Yeah. Like, if he is not.
I mean, the oldest is, like, two, but not even near as much as this. Isn't it more about, like, competitive losing?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily not knowing it. Like, the oldest mm-hmm. wants to know everything. And, mm-hmm. like, if they don't know it, they freak out. But the second is, like, he is, if he loses, it's tears. He's like, I'm not crying. I'm not crying.
Oh, my goodness.
It's okay.
But, yeah, that my second is a little extreme. And he gets very anxious about it. Like, no. Like, he didn't want to swim because it didn't make sense to him.
Yeah.
So he didn't. So, and I remember one of the schools had dances, like the festivals or whatever. In Puerto Rico, they love to dance.
Okay.
Like, they will make a dance for everything. So they will make a choreography for the first graders, for the third graders, okay. or for the kindergarten. So my older girl will be creating the choreography for the whole classroom because she loves to dance. But the second one will be in a corner like this. And they will tell me, like, what happened? Well, they're different, like. What do you want me to do? Like, I'm not going to vlog him. Like, and I remember he was in gymnastics. So he's good. He has a lot of sports facilities. Like, he's good. He's very strong. So he was good. He was great doing it. It was like a routine. And when we got there, there was a lot of people because there was a lot of kids. So he freaked out.
Yeah.
So thank God that day my husband was with the other ones and I was with him only. And I stood at the competition for 4 hours. In those 4 hours, he was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I remember telling him, you know what? I'm doing my part to bring you here with your clothes. Because he didn't even want to dress as he usually did. I'm doing my part. I'm respecting that you don't want to. We're going to be here until your father comes pick up us. And if whenever you want to do it, just let me know. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And he was like, so we stood there. We had some friends. They already went through. They got their medals and everything. And he was not. And like 15 minutes out, and the coach approach like 15 times. Andre, are you going to do it? And he was like, no. Okay. Andre, are you going to never push him? Just asking.
Yeah.
So there were two kids left and there's half of the people had left.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I run to the bathroom, change his clothes and prepare him. And he won first place.
Wow.
But it wasn't until he was ready and it wasn't until the people wasn't going to. I was telling him, like, the only person that cares and loves you right now here, because they don't love you and they don't know you. It's me. So just focus on me. And he would go like, no, they're going to see me. They're going to watch me and blah, blah, blah. So, but whenever the crowd went by and there was no more, like, half of the people, he decided to do it and had a So after the all of this time, I was texting with my husband. He was like, oh, no, I will pull him off, blah, blah, blah. No, let's go. So he couldn't because they were in an activity for the school. Yeah. So he couldn't come by. But if he could, he was so mad. So at 4 hours after, we're going to the car because he's already there. And my kid looks at me and he tells me, Mom, I'm so proud of me.
Oh,
I did it. So I was like, so they are the ones that had taught me to respect them.
Yeah. And then it was like, so Montessori, it's like he is like, that's on him. Mm-hmm. And he's proud of himself. It's not about anybody mm-hmm. else being yeah. proud of him.
And I remember
telling exterior. Mm-hmm.
I remember telling me, and you know what? I am so proud of you because you took a decision and you made it.
Yeah.
That's it. Not because you won, not because you have a medal, because you were faithful to you and what you were thinking. And you, when you were ready, you told me. That's it. So they are the ones that have told me that, like the way of respecting them, even in that, because sometimes he will tell me, Mom, I don't like you when you do that.
Yeah.
You know what? I respect that. I'm not going to do it anymore. Just yeah. tell me. Just yeah. tell me because I don't know. I don't know if you're laughing because this or that.
Yeah.
There's people around us that not necessarily understand that, but right. he knows that whenever he feels like he doesn't want it anymore, he will look at me with this face and I will just speak. Just tell him, stop.
Yeah.
But... yeah, they're the ones that have helped. I think they're going to homeschool me instead of me. They have they been do. Already doing it.
Yeah, they teach us so much. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, teach me the sinner that I am and how I should be better.
Yes.
Yeah. They know what they need a lot of times.
Yeah, sometimes they don't even know, but sometimes they do.
Yeah.
And in the exercise of us respecting them and asking them, they will... feel more comfortable
right.
to contact,
oh my gosh,
to connect with them.
It's been so hard for me to retrain myself to not just like go chide immediately, but to first stop and ask, oh, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? And I learned that from Catechesis of the Good Shepherd,
yeah.
even though I
the
had
language.
Been looking around like Montessori, like researching in a Montessori and stuff. I didn't learn that until like being in the atrium with the kids, because mm-hmm. there are things they're supposed to do and not do,
mm-hmm.
but how do you know what they're doing until you ask? Because what we see mm-hmm. is not,
it's not necessarily
not what they
what
see and
happening.
What is happening. Mm-hmm. And that's over 50% of the time I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you have to ask.
That's why I enjoy it so
why
much.
Why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing this? Like, asking yeah. politely first before you let things.
Yeah.
Sometimes late or
in the midst of getting ready and everything, I yes. totally forgot. But sometimes even Rebecca knows what she's like. She will tell me.
Yeah.
Did or done. She
yeah.
said done. And then she goes down. And after 5 minutes, she comes back and wants to see it again. But I discovered that she pooped.
Oh.
So she's done because she needs a pause.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting, it's not friendly for her. So she no. will go around.
Yeah, it's friendly
and
to
then
stand
come
and spot.
Back. So that kind of stuff helps us. Or sometimes we tell them, yes, I'm hearing you, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So it's like, I will tell them, help me understand. What do you need?
Yeah.
How can I help you? How do you want me to help you? And yeah. this psychologist that we're meeting, she's giving us exercises to do with them while they're playing. Like you will repeat what they're saying or you will repeat what they're doing. You do not ask questions. You just follow them. Mm. And that's very hard. And yeah.
The observation part of yeah. Montessori is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I mean, I only have experience, like strictly, like, speaking there. I mean, I try to do Montessori at home, but atrium is, like, a much more formal space.
Mm-hmm.
So the observation part there is so hard. And you have to slow down so mm-hmm. much in order to really get in tune with what they're doing yeah. and why they're doing it and what's going on within all the dynamics of the atrium to like why they're doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's super hard, especially when you feel like we should be doing this, we need to be doing mm-hmm. this. Like, yeah. this is what we have to get.
Because you don't feel the hurry. Year. Like, you know, in Catechism of Good Shepherd, you should be doing this, but there's no hurry. First is the child, not the curriculum.
So it takes a while to learn that no yeah. hurry thing, though, especially for people that come from public school backgrounds.
That should be doing this.
Or traditional catechesis yeah. backgrounds, like CCD, teaching from a book. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, this is what we're doing today. But yes, like atrium and monastery is all about the invitation. Mm-hmm. Like observing when they're ready and the invitation and respecting their yes or their no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it has been good for us as a family, that those kind of therapies, because she was telling us, okay, I'm gonna have sessions with him, but first I have to help the environment.
Yeah.
I have to prepare the environment for him, and I want to give you guys resources so discipline won't be sounding as blah 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 instead of okay, you choose this, that this is what happens,
right?
And she was telling us, and she was explaining us, we as a Hispanic cultured persons, we grew up with this systems of because I say so.
Right. Well, that's the family I grew up in also.
So that, and she was explaining us like that kind of stuff doesn't work here because we are supposed to be learning how to analyze
right.
and express ourselves with respect. So whenever if you moved here, you guys have to deal with the ways that we used here.
Right.
And you don't take it personal. It's not that they are defying you. It's they're defying the rule. So it's more like, and there's a lot of people telling, oh, don't do this, don't do that, don't talk to them like this, don't talk to them that. But
right.
how do I talk that to them?
Right.
Like, tell me, how do I do it? 1, 2, 3. So she's giving us that. Like, okay, right. you guys are going to do this exercise while you are playing with him. Because our goal is that you can do it naturally.
This is Matthias with the ADHD. Yeah. And like, the oppositional defiant disorder.
Yeah. Because the root of his ADHD or defiance or whatever is his gift and his capacity of analysis.
Yeah.
He goes way ahead of us. Right. Like when he was 3, he was eating ice cream with a fork. And I asked him, Matthias, what are you doing? Why don't you use a spoon? And he told me, because this way it lasts more. It will take longer for me to finish my ice cream and I will enjoy it.
Okay.
She was the one who asked me if the microwave was a boss.
Yeah.
So he's always analyzing it. Things.
Yeah.
And whenever you tell him, because that's how it is, it won't make sense.
It won't
and
work.
He can't follow.
He can't follow it. Yeah,
he doesn't understand.
You gotta explain it. It has to make sense.
So there are things that you, because I'm the adult, and you're a kid, but there's a lot of a whole process before having that answer.
Right. Like, you gotta give it a chance.
So, like everybody, we have I call it the clean clothes party, because everybody sort their own stuff.
Right.
So we will have it in my bed and everything is like around. And he will,
clothes tornado.
Yeah. And he will be like this in the bed. And I'm like, Matthias, why aren't you pulling out your clothes? Oh, because when everybody finishes, the only clothes that are going to be there is mine.
So everybody's going to do the work for you. That's what I think.
Yeah, I totally.
But he's just smart.
Yeah. So I was like, yes, but that is going to take you longer. And whenever we want to go out downside, down, or we're going to have to wait for you to do a snack. Yeah. Like, it will take you longer. But it totally makes sense. And that's like, So that kind of stuff you have to be, and you don't have to be like ahead of it.
Right.
You just want to help him cope with assuming that not everybody's going to be giving him explanations and not everything that you have to do, you will understand.
Yeah.
Because whenever that happens, the anger will go from 0 to 10.
Right.
And he will start shouting and punching and everything. And that's the lack of his, like his
emotional regulation.
Exactly. Because they don't have any. Like,
yeah.
We were talking about good and bad, and that process will come naturally. For him, it's right. Not naturally. He has to be taught. Mm. Like, okay, what are the consequences of this decision? What are the consequences of this other one? What will be better for you? Like, the other ones will be logically like, oh, no, this is good. This is where he doesn't knows the difference naturally, so we have to teach him. Mm. And that's the hardest part, but I know that if my kid is good at math or whatever, I'm not going to give him more math. He's going to discover it. I have to work with him with whatever he lacks of.
Yeah.
So that's the other reason that hard, like heavy reason that we have for doing the homeschooling. And we right. know that it is, I know that it is a calling from God to be helping him. And in the midst of it, getting resources for the other ones too, because we apply the same things to right. the others.
Right. I think they call it unit studies when you do a study on a certain subject and then you extract out from that what each kid's need, mm-hmm. kid needs at their level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Well, I have a lot of things to read. I don't know at what time I'm going to do it.
Oh, I know. There's not enough time in the day. The kids yesterday were like, why does time go so fast for adults? Time goes so much faster for adults. It goes so much slower for us kids. It's like, okay. You're hilarious.
Yeah, and I was thinking, how did it felt to not need to do something? Like, I don't remember that time.
Like, feeling.
Yeah, because you don't have kids. Like, I don't remember what I was watching,
so but
I was
different.
Like, yeah, you can do whatever you want whenever you want.
Yeah.
How did that felt? I don't remember it.
Yeah, I know. That's wild.
And it's been only 10 years.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, and the whole years that it left. So, but yeah, I was thinking of that.
Don't know what you have until you lose it.
Yeah.
Well, at least we have community with yes. each other. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to reach out for, to other moms that are, there's so many friends and moms that I know that are making this switch.
Yeah.
Because the options in school just aren't there. They can only go back 50% mm-hmm. capacity. So certain kids are going to have to, do Zoom school. And that's not, that's not mm-hmm. going to be an option for them.
Yeah.
They're not mm-hmm. going to accept that. It's mm-hmm. just not going to
work.
We
shouldn't be accepting it.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't accept it.
But, well, good luck on your journey, Brenda.
Thank you. Don't worry. I will call you.
Okay.
I know you're not going to answer, so I'm going to send you a text message.
And I'll call back when I can.
Yes. Totally.
Or we can podcast again and let everybody else benefit from the conversation.
Yeah. It has been a good time outside my home.
Good. Yeah. Yes. Any excuse to leave the kids and go have some adult time.
Yeah. Yesterday I had the excuse of getting a red box. These.
I'll go.
And it took me like almost an hour.
Why did it take you so long? To go 5 minutes down the
road.
Were
there a lot of people?
Such a long line. Everybody had to be 6 feet apart.
Yeah. Well, that happens.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Brenda.
Yeah,
it was so good having you. Yeah.
Yes. It has been a good experience.
Good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to Montessori Mom. The end.